Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin, Daf Ayin Gimel. We're back on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And we'll finish up the Troclin, and we have a couple very exciting sugyas to go through today. The story with the Troclin is as follows. We had a Mishnah back on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph that talked about five people living in the Troclin. Now, what a Troclin is exactly, so we're not exactly sure, but it's definitely a large house where it's compartmentalized. It's kind of like a hotel, but not exactly. So we have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Mishnah, where when I have five residents of this Troclin, so Beis Shammai says, Erev l'chol chabur v'chabur, every single group needs to contribute to the Erev in order to unify and incorporate that group. Beis Hillel disagrees. He says, Erev echa l'kulan, it's one Erev for everybody. I told you the Lashon of Beis Hillel is a little bit difficult. It's a challenging Lashon. Erev echa l'kulan, meaning if you're already considered unified, so why do you need an Erev at all? What does it mean, Erev Echa L'Kulan? Just simply say, they're unified. So I told you, we already mentioned this. The language of Beis Hillel is challenging. But either way, we have Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But then Modim, but then the Mishnah says, but here there's a point of agreement between them that if some of them are living in rooms or in separate floors, that every group needs its own, it needs to contribute its own Erev to the food to the Erev. Okay. So that was our Mishnah. Now, I told you the struggle in our Mishnah is really to identify and define what we're even talking about. Meaning it's certainly a larger house and they're certainly separated, but how are they separated? The Gemara gave no less than four different opinions in terms of how exactly they were separated from one another. Makeshift walls, mechitzas that don't reach the ceiling, mechitzas that do reach the ceiling. So there were no less than four opinions in terms of what exactly the point of separation was between these residents of the Troclin. The top of Ayin Beis Amud Beis quoted a Braisa, where we quoted the opinion of Rav Yehuda Sabar. Rav Yehuda Sabar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not disagree. Where the mechitzas reach the wall, that everyone needs an Erev l'chol chabur v'chabur, then they're separate and everyone has to contribute their own to the Erev. So, and there's not going to be any point of disagreement. The only point of disagreement is going to be when the mechitzas do not reach the wall, where their Beis Hillel feels that now it's one entity. It's like I described yesterday, it's like office space. In other words, where it's really one large room and you have dividers, right, dividing the wall. Yes, well here it goes all...
Yeah,
right, right. It's like office space, right. Where basically Beis Hillel says, I view it as one entity. And Beis Shammai says, no, I view them as separate entities. Okay, so that's the Braisa of Rav Yehuda Sabar. And the Gemara is now about to point out that's the halacha. That's where we got to yesterday. Amar Rav Nachman, right in the middle of the Amud, Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud, and we're starting now with Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Halacha, Kerev Yehuda HaSabar. That's the halacha. Meaning that the way he understands this Troclin, where if the walls hit the roof, so then everyone's in agreement that they're separate entities, but if they don't hit the roof, so then we have a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. That's the correct way of understanding. Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Masnitzan, Nami Deka. In fact, look at the Mishnah, meaning this is a braisa, this is Rav Yehuda Sabar. Truth be told, that if you critically read the Mishnah, you will see this inside the Mishnah. Diktani modim is manchim excessum shurim bechadarim va'alios, shitzrichan erv l'chol chabur v'chabur, because in fact, in the Mishnah actually gives us a case scenario where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to be agreeing. What's the case that the Mishnah gives us? Where they're in separate rooms or in separate floors. So my chadarim, my aliyos. Now, what exactly does the Mishnah mean by that? Ilem chadarim, chadarim mamish, ve'aliyos, aliyos, aliyos mamish pshita. Now, if they're actually in separate rooms, so isn't it obvious? Elalav ke'ein chadarim ke'ein aliyos. So it must be that it's like separate rooms and it's like separate floors. So it means like exactly what we have here in this room, meaning I have a wall. It's not a structural part of the house, meaning this wall come down. It's a collapsible wall. But because these walls go from the floor all the way to the roof, so therefore it's exactly in this scenario where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to be agreeing that if we lived here in this room and others lived in that room, so then each one of us would have to make our own separate contribution to the Erev. Shema Mina, the Gemara says that's it. Meaning good. We have a Braisa, and a critical read of the Mishnah also supports this as well. Okay, and that's in fact going to be the Halacha. So in this Troclin, where if they're divided by just simply partitions, makeshift walls, mechitzos, but it doesn't reach the top. So in other words, if these walls that are right now to my left, if they were cut in half and you don't have the top portion of it, so now we would have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai would basically view us as two separate entities. Beis Hillel would already view us as already one entity. And so therefore, we wouldn't have to make a separate Eruv. If the entire house was constructed like those half walls, so then we wouldn't have to make an Eruv, meaning we're already considered one. Masha Ein Kein, once the walls hit the ceiling, like over here, again, these aren't structural walls to the house. If they're structural walls to the house, pshita, it's obvious then that we're separate entities. But in other words, they're basically collapsible walls, but the walls go from the floor to the ceiling. So then we have consensus, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, that you do not that we would both need to contribute to the Eruv, we're considered separate entities. Okay. All this, you know, yeah.
I mean, up until now, you always said, even with the sukkah, that like 10 tefachim is the standard height for a wall to be significant.
Right.
So why is it here 10
It's not a... Right. I understand your question. It's not a function of the wall. It's a function of...
That's like a standard height, 10 tefachim.
I understand that, but it's a function... Look, I mean, it's really going to be our discussion for today. It's defining residence.
Right.
Meaning we're defining what is considered units of residence. So we want to separate... We don't want to separate, but we want to know... When is this group separate from that group? Walls are not really the issue.
No, but it's the walls that makes that distinction. And you're saying that...
But not... Understood. But not halachic walls. Meaning it's not a function of it being halachic walls. It's just a function of how much wall is there to make us now feel like we're two separate entities. Look, I mean, you work in an office and you have those little things you don't feel... Whatever they're called.
Cubicles.
So you don't feel like you're in a different room from other people. You feel it's. I know it sounds funny, but it really does get a. It's a feeling issue. It's how we're viewed as one versus many. All this now gave us one approach in our Mishnah. Meaning we had a Mishnah 9 based on Amud Aleph. It's about Tracklin. And so far, what we've been dissecting this Mishnah, the only way we've been looking at this Mishnah is basically what are the walls looking like? Are the walls going up partway, all the way? Collapsible, part of the building. Meaning right now, our first approach has been walls. How exactly are those walls looking? The Gemara now is going to take us through a second approach. It's going to be not a lot of Gemara, but it's a little bit tricky. The Gemara is now going to take us a second approach, a totally different way of looking at our Mishnah, having nothing to do with walls and separation between walls, but rather the following. The Mishnah, the Gemara now continues. We're on right in the middle of the Amud. Right afterwards, Shema Min Atana. So the Gemara quotes the following brisa. I'm sorry. Before I even read the brisa, let's go over something that we've gone over already a number of times. We already know this, but it's just important just so that we get into the right frame of mind for this upcoming Gemara. We know that if I have a chetzer adjoining one another, two chetzeros, and they're adjoining one another, and there's an opening between the two of them, so they have an option. Option A is that each one of them can make their own separate eruv. Option B, because there's a doorway between the two, so what they could do, unification. What they could do now is they can make one global Eruv that would allow them to carry in the Chatzir and between the Chatziris as well. Okay. Now, when they're going to make one joint Eruv, so that means then that ultimately the Eruv is going to be placed in only one of the Chatziris, meaning the two Chatziris are really going to be merged into one. This is true mergers and acquisition. They're going to be merged into one, but obviously the basket's going to be somewhere. So, in other words, let's go Chatzer A, Chatzer B. So, if we're living in Chatzer A, there really are two very simple options. Option one is that the Eruv is going to be placed in our Chatzer. Okay? Meaning all the other members of the Eruv of Chatzer B are going to be contributing and placing their bread in the basket in Chatzer A. And the other simple option is that, no, the Eruv is going to be placed in Chatzer B, which means all the other members all the members of our Chatzer are going to be sending the bread over to the other Chatzer. Okay, it's very simple, very straightforward. What's going to come out over here is a very interesting halacha, and the Gemara says, and this is how we're going to understand our Mishnah. Meaning there's going to make a difference halachically whether we're importing the other Chatzer's Eruv, or we're exporting our Eruv. And what's going to come out very interesting is that, you'll see this in the Gemara, that when it's importation, when we're bringing in the other person's Eruv, so we may not all have to be contributors, because it's our Chatzer. Now, that's funny, by the way, because how can we What unified us? Okay, hold on that question. But in other words, but that's the importation. If it's export, if we're exporting our Eruv to the other Chatzer, then of course every single one of us is going to need to contribute to that Eruv, as that Eruv is not going to be on our home Chatzer, but rather it's going to be going away. Now, back to my question. If we're importing the Eruv, we may not all have to contribute. Well, that's strange, meaning what unified us? So that's how all this comes into the discussion without Trachlin. Okay? Let's see it inside. Tana. We learned in a Braisa. If we send our Eruv to another place, exportation of Eruv, where in other words, we're two chaseres are next to one another. We, the members of the Trachlin now, are sending our bread to the other chatzir so that we and the other chatzir can unify. So there, every member must contribute. Aval. Imhaya Eruvan ba'etzlan. But if the Eruv is coming to us, so in other words, we're going to be hosting the Eruv, simply the basket of bread. So now, divrei hakol Eruv echa lekulan. We don't have to contribute. So we don't have to contribute. Let me ask you a simple question. So what unified us? Meaning the other Eruv, the other Chatzir is all bringing the bread to us, so that now we're all considered one residence. But what unified us? Answer, the Trachlin. Meaning that's exactly the point of our Mishnah. We're all under one roof, we're all in one building. Now again, walls hitting the ceiling, walls not hitting the ceiling, it's not our focus. Now, it's an important discussion, because again, if they're separate rooms, if they're structurally separate rooms, as the Gemara mentioned earlier, pshita, it's obvious then, well, that's a hotel, meaning it's a multi-residential complex. Obviously, everyone's treated differently. But if it's Trachlin, which basically means it's one house, you know, and quartered off from one another, but it's basically one house, it's one roof, so then the Trachlin unifies us, and because the Trachlin unifies us, we don't have to make an Eruv. And now if another chatzar wants to join us and they're bringing their Eruv to us, obviously every member of that chatzar has to contribute. We were already unified. Keman Hazal HaDetayin, the Gemara says, okay, based on this now, we have a brace and we understand the brace. So how's the brace read? Chamisha Shekavus Eruvan, that five people are collecting the Eruv. Keshem Aleichan Es Eruv L'makom Acher, when we're exporting the Eruv, Echa L'Kulan. It's going to be one Eruv for everybody. So keman ke beis hillel. So that's like beis hillel, meaning beis hillel is of the opinion that even when we're exporting, but because beis hillel feels that the Trachlin is really one house and one entity, so how much do we need to bring now? One Eruv. By the way, this pshat in our Mishnah, okay, it's a little bit tricky. In other words, the differences between importing versus exporting. You know what this pshat does? It beautifully explains the words Eruv echa lekulan. Previously, we really struggled. Meaning, what does that mean, Eruv Echa L'Kulan? If it's one house, we don't need to make an Eruv. Now, the way we're describing this Mishnah is that, no, we are not making an Eruv for our house. Our house is one entity. What we're doing, however, is that we're joining another Chatzir. So now, when we're joining another Chatzir, and we're exporting the Eruv to another Chatzir, so how many people need to contribute? Do we only need to give one Eruv that represents the entire house? Or does every compartmentalized group need to bring their own separate Eruv? Now the way we're understanding the Mishnah, now we hear the words of Beis Hillel, Eruv Echa L'Kulan. It's one Eruv, meaning only one bread needs to come from this house to the other Chatzir so that we can merge the two Chatziris. Ikadamri now, okay good, that was version number one of our discussion. The Gemara goes to a second version. Now, according to the second version, it's the same basic machlokas, but the point of agreement is when we export, every one of us have to contribute. When we import the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when we export, everyone needs to contribute, and that's even according to Beis Hillel. Now that's another version of the Braisa. The problem is, now we're going to read the same Braisa we just read a moment ago, and it's really not going to work. Now the Braisa says that when we're exporting our Eruv, you only need to bring one Eruv. Well, now this Braisa really doesn't read well. Because according to our second version, according to the Ikad Amrei, everyone agrees that when we're exporting, everybody needs to contribute. And so that kind of leaves that brisa out in a on an island. There's no time is going to be supporting that brisa. Now the Gemara doesn't reject, but the Gemara is saying it doesn't work out so well. Okay, we start our new Mishnah. Okay, the discussion that's coming up, it's such a great discussion. We're really going to try to define residence. Okay, look, a chatzar is comprised of multi houses, many houses. Everyone's living in a house, and we want to unify the houses. Basically, the discussion we're going to be having now is, well, what if they're already unified? Meaning, what if the people are already connected? Now, by connection, what do I mean by that? So let's talk financial, okay? Because that's really going to be the easiest way to talk about it. And meaning that, let's say, five members of the chatzar, one is dad, and the other four is four boys. And right now, the boys are young, not kids, but in other words, they're young, they have their own house, but still being supported by dad. So in other words, there is a financial dependence of the kids to the dad. Now, it is a chatzar, and there are five different residents, but in other words, there's really one bread earner in the complex. Are we already looking at a unified entity, or do we need an Eruv in order to unify them? Okay. Fair question. The Mishnah discusses. Ha'achin sh'ayochlan ha'shulchan aviyah. So the brothers are eating at the table of their father. V'yishenim bevateim. Now, over here, eating at the residence of the father, literally or figuratively, meaning, do they actually, when it's supper time, right, a ringing of the bell, and all the boys come running to come running to dad's house, okay, it's supper, bring their wives, bring the kids, okay. Or, what the Mishnah could mean, and more probably means, is support, meaning they get supported by dad, but they sleep in their own homes. Tzrichen Erev l'chol echad ve'echad. So the Mishnah says, now we need an Erev. Meaning, because they sleep in their own home, so therefore they need Erev. Lefichach. Im shachachecha mehem v'lo Erev mevatos rishu. So, the obvious consequence would be that if, let's say, one of them failed to contribute to the Erev, and now Shabbos is here, what do we do? Okay, we go back to what we've been learning now for nearly 2 weeks. Bitol harishus. So you have to relinquish your rights to the chatzar so that everyone else can carry within the chatzar. I'm not really sure. I don't know why the Mishnah needed to tell us that. There was really, you would have thought otherwise. Meaning, once the Mishnah already told us that everyone needs to contribute to the Eruv, then Bitol HaRishus is a natural consequence. If one of them fails to offer, I don't know why the Mishnah needs to tell us that, but anyway. Amos type is Mancha Malichan Eruvim B'makam Acher, Aval Im Haya Eruv Ba'atzlan, Oh, She'ein Iman Diurim B'chatzer, Einem Tzrichan La'arev. But interestingly, says the Mishnah, little caveat, let's say there are no other residents in the chatzar. Let's say that these five, dad and the four boys, which represent the five houses, are the only residents of the chatzar, so then they're unified. It's confusing, right? Meaning, yes. Right. Meaning that if I have other residents living there, so then the five are treated like five independent units, everyone have to contribute to the Arab. However, if they are the only five, so then they're considered like one. So that it.
For each one is a dira.
Okay, fine. So in other words, is it a dira or is it not a dira? So, and why would other people living there affect it? I'm going to address. The Gemara is going to address that question later on. The Gemara is going to give an explanation. Okay, but it's definitely a mind bender. Now, Shema Mina Makam Lina Garin. So what our Gemara does is really wants to cut right into it, meaning, what is Dira? What establishes Dira? Obviously, the whole idea behind an Erev is that we're separate residential areas, and we want to combine into one residential area. That's what Erev is. So, but before we talk about combination and Erev, what we first have to do is give a very good definition of what does it mean that we're separate. So the Gemara says, you know what, if you read our Mishnah, he really seems to walk away with one conclusion, and that is Lina. It's where we sleep. I mean, look at the Mishnah. Mishnah describes a father with his four sons, and all four boys are sleeping in their own house, and they're eating at dad's house. Now again, literally, figuratively, it may make a difference, but they're eating at dad's house. Let's just say literally. Let's make it really simple. They're eating at dad's house. So, sleep in one house, eat in the other, and what does the Mishnah say? Everyone needs to contribute. They're separate entities. Dira seems to be defined in our Mishnah by Lina, by where we're sleeping. So, Amrav Yehuda Amrav, but Mekabli Prashanu. So Rav Yehuda Amrav says, could be our Mishnah describing a scenario where, yes, Dad's supporting, and yes, they're eating Al Shulchan Aviyam, but don't take the Mishnah super literally. The Mishnah does not mean that they're actually walking to Dad's house and eating in Dad's house. Actually, they're getting food, and the food's eaten in their own home. So in other words, here the criteria that you have in this case is they're sleeping in their own home and they're eating in their own home. Now, it's true that the financial backing is coming from Dad, but eating and sleeping is done in their own home. And so therefore, for residence, for the definition of residence, everyone is considered like a separate entity. But perhaps it could be that if it were just Lina and not Achila, meaning if the case were that they were going to Dad's house to eat in Dad's house, so then it's treated as one residence. Tana Rabban, the Gemara is going to discuss this further. If what you have in somebody else's chatzar is a gatehouse, achsadra is basically like a gazebo. Or marpeset, right? The balcony. In other words, you don't really have a house, but you have any one of these structures. So, ain't no star love. You create no problem in that chatzar because it's not a home. Beis ateven, beis habakar, beis haetz, and beis haotzaros. Hareza osar love. Now, if you have a house, even if it's not really the most habitable house, it's a beis habakar. It's where your cows are, where you store your wood. A cellar, right? Any type of warehouse. Hareza osar alav. Okay, in other words, the key word in all those cases is base. But it's, in other words, it's a house. Rav Yehuda Omer, in osar ela b'makom dir bavad. Rav Yehuda says, no, these aren't homes. They're houses, they're not homes. Right? It sounds like a drasha. But they're basically, yes, they're houses, but they're not homes. So, ain't osa ela makam dira bavad. It has to be a makam dira. I'm Rav Yehuda Maisa ben Nafcha, Shailo Chamesh Chatzeros Be'usha. So, a story regarding a particular individual who had five houses and five different Chatzeros in the town of Usha. Usha, one of those towns where the Sanhedrin was exiled to. Okay, good, you own homes, but in your own houses. But houses is not what's going to define your place of residence. It's got to be a home. It's got to be a beis dira. So the Gemara says, "Ela beis dira bavad, beis dira salgadacha, ela ema makom dira." Now it's not a structural issue, meaning it's not beis dira, but makom dira. It has to be the place where you are. Again, the difference between house versus home. But good, house versus home. That's a drasha. Okay. No offense to the Rabbanim. That's a drasha. But in other words, we're in the Gemara. We're trying to come up with some sort of definition, legalized definition. My makom dira. So what do we mean when we say makom dira? So Rav Amar, makom pito, Shmuel Amar, makom lina. So now what we were discussing after we just, immediately after we learned the Mishnah, actually turns into a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says makom pita. Right? It's where you eat your pita. Right, with shawarma and salad, meaning the place where you're eating. So, and Shmuel says, no, it's makom lina, it's the place where you're sleeping. So it's a machlokes marayim between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what exactly is going to establish the residence. Now, just in general, we know, we've said this already a number of times, so machlokes Rav and Shmuel, who does halacha fall like? So by Mamanos, the halacha falls like Shmuel, and by Yisav Ehetor, the halacha falls like Rav. I know it's funny, we're talking about your definition of residence, but it's really Yisav Ehetor. It's the allowance of carrying in the chatzer. So therefore, the halacha is going to be following like Rav. It's where you're going to be eating. Meisve. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this based on a number of brisas. Brisa number one, Haron v'akaitzim v'aborganim. The Shomrei Peiros Bizman Shedarchan Lalin Beir Harin Kehan Sheir Bizman Shedarchan Lalin Besadeh Yesh Lamapayim Amalachol Ruach. The Brice here talks about the people who are watchmen of the field. Okay, so they're really workers out in the field. So what's home for them? Now it's interesting, by the way, because really what we're going to be discussing, we're going to have two conversations simultaneously. One is Erev Chatzeres, which makes sense. We're in the sixth parak of Erevin. We're in Parak Adar. We're talking about Erev Chatzeros, but at the same time, we're also going to be discussing about Tchum. Meaning, as we talked about in the fourth and fifth parakim of Erevin, Tchum is basically I can't walk 2,000 amos from my Makom Shvisa, from where I am. And interestingly, the place that's going to define you for your Makom Dira for Erev Chatzeros is also going to be the place that's going to define your Dira for Tchum as well. It will be your center for your 2,000 amos. So now these people who are working out in the field, so what does the Braisa say? It depends. What does it depend on? So the Braisa says that if they normally sleep in the city, meaning they're spending all day out in the field, nighttime, time to go to bed, they come into the city, they sleep in the city. So now they're Anshei Ha'ir. So now they're considered part of Anshei Ha'ir, which would now mean that they'd have to contribute to a Erev if there was an Erev there in the city. And it would also mean that their 2,000 amos point of center is the city. However, if they are sleeping out in the field, so then, obviously, there's no Erev Chatzer conversation. Okay? I guess they didn't have homes. They may have had teepees, but do you remember we learned back in the earlier in the Masechta, right? If you're just setting up tent, there's no Erev Chatzeris. Okay? So it has to be established homes, an established community. We said that also regarding Tchum as well. However, if they're living out in the field, so it's 2,000 amos from where they are out in the field. What we got from this Bryce says basically, what is defining Dira? The place where you sleep, not the place where you eat. So this obviously poses a problem to Rav. What's Rav going to do with this Bryce? Interesting, the Gemara says, Hasam anan tzahadidi mamatale rifta hasam tfei nichalohu. So even though it's true that they eat in the city, but Anan Sahadeh concept that comes up a number of times in the Gemara, we testify, meaning we are, we know this to be so, even though it's not so. Anan Sahadeh is a tricky concept. Anan Sahadeh, we know this to be so, that even though they eat in the city, I'm telling you, they would prefer to eat in the field. If you would have given them bread and said, here, gentlemen, you don't have to schlep back to the city to eat. If you put up a little stand right next to the field, they would have loved it. They would have been much happier. So this is the principle known as Anan Sahadi. Anan Sahadi dimimatale rifta hasam tfei nichalohu. Okay. And so obviously that defends Rav, because Rav will now tell you, it is their makom pita. It's the place of eating. Even though they don't actually eat out in the field, but because they would prefer to eat out in the field, so therefore the field of them becomes their makom dira. Okay, I understand it's a little bit of a tricky concept, but that's basically how the Gemara sets it up. The Gemara tells us this in another way as well. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shmi ala hashmaitai. So Rav Yosef says, I don't remember this whole discussion. Okay, you know what I'm about to insert into this discussion. Right? Rav Yosef knew everything, went through a terrible illness, forgot everything, and is now relearning everything for the second time. And so on a lot of these discussions, things he himself taught, he forgot. The Gemara goes on. Abai says, here, you are right here on the sugya. You were teaching us this very sugya. And you made the following point. So first, what you did, Rav Yosef, is you went through the Mishnah. I mean, can you imagine Rav Yosef is chazring shir that he himself gave? You first taught us the Mishnah in Erevin that the brothers who are living in the same chatzer as their father, and they're eating by their father and sleeping in their own houses. So we said to you, oh, makom lina, depends where you sleep. V'amartlan Allah amarav Yehuda amarav b'mekable prashanu. No, the Mishnah is not talking about where they're sleeping in their own homes and only sleeping in their own homes. Our Mishnah is talking about where they're eating in their own homes as well. Every day or every week, dad brings over food to their sons' houses and feeds their sons in their houses. So there's both Lina and Achila taking place in everyone's houses, and that's why our Mishnah, every one of the sons, is their house is considered their makom dira, because not only do they sleep there, but they also eat there as well. That's how Rav Yosef understood our Mishnah. That's how Rav Yosef quoted Rav as in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. And so therefore, and Rav Yosef had to have been reminded of this whole discussion. Tana Rabbana Mishlei Shulchem Mishnah Shemekablas Pras Mi Baalehem V'chamisha Avadim Mekablas Pras Mi Rabbeihem. Gemara is now going to have another interesting discussion. We now talked about the relationship between father and son, where the sons are financially dependent on dad, and under certain circumstances are considered united. Okay, now we just got done saying that if the sons are eating and sleeping in their own home, so it's their own residence. But even with that stated, our Mishnah says that at times they're viewed as one residence. How about the following? How about the relationship between a husband to his wife, or in this case, to his wives? How about the relationship of his of a master to his eved?
Isn't the wife considered the wife, the house? Don't they refer to the wife as the house?
Just wait 1 second. So we have now, and it's basically, we're constructing now the same scenario where he's got now not one but five wives. And each one of the wives has their own independent house. Probably better that way. Okay. The master's got five avadim. Every one of his avadim has their own house. And so now, question becomes, how do we view them? One unit vis-a-vis Eruv Chatzeros, or five separate units, each one needing to contribute to the Eruv? Now, obviously, husband has to support his wives. Contractually obligated to do it. It's called the ksuva. A master has to support his avadim. Also, no ksuva, but obligated to do so. So now, how do we view this? One entity or five separate entities? So this turns into a machlokes. Rav Yehuda ben Beserah, Mata ben Ashim, Va'oser ba'avadim. So Rav Yehuda ben Beserah says, as far as the wives are concerned, they are corporate entities, incorporated entities of their husbands, and so therefore the five houses are one unit. If it's a vadim, five separate houses. And Rav Yehuda ben Bava goes the other way. Matir, just give me a moment. Matir ba'avadim va'oser benashim. He says, no, the avadim are considered one incorporated entity, and the wives are considered separate units. Now, he's not disagreeing with the contractual obligation of a husband having to support his wife. A husband has to support his wife. What, in this case, wives. It just happens to be that in this regard, for reasons that the Gemara does not really explain well, is that the wives are considered like separate entities, and therefore an eruv is necessary in such a chatzer. The only bit of more information the Gemara gives us is Amarav, my time with Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Let's try to understand Rav Yehuda ben Bava a little bit better, which is that the wives are considered separate entities vis-a-vis eruv chatzeros. The avadim are not. Well, why should that be? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Daniel, Daniel b'sra malka. Daniel was in the gate of the king. Right? Say for Daniel is written in Aramaic, so you really get to test your Aramaic. Here we only get three words of Sefer Daniel, so not much of a test over here. And b'sra means a gate. Okay, malka you probably knew. What does that mean? What are we learning of the pasuk in Daniel? Daniel, you know, was a servant of the king. Right? In other words, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed by Rishon. Nebuchadnezzar took in a couple of very special young men into his palace to basically serve the king. Daniel and four others. Three others. Okay. What we get from this pasuk is Daniel was in the gate of the king, meaning he was a servant to the king. He was always in the gate of the king. Now, that doesn't mean he lived there. He didn't live there. He had his own quarters. But because he was a servant of the king, even though physically he may not have been in the gate of the king all the time, but mentally he was always there. Meaning he had to serve the king hand and foot, and he had to always be by the king. So even though he lived in his own house, mentally he was in somebody else's house. So that is a part of an explanation of Yehuda ben Bava. Okay, and that's all the Gemara gives us. Meaning, so and why by wives are they considered separate entities? The wives don't feel as if they're by the homes of their husband. I guess not. And what's the explanation of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira? Why the wives are considered one with the husband, but the avadim are not? Okay, so the Gemara doesn't give us much more information than that.
This guy owned five homes without anybody else living there. Just he owns five homes. Does he give one bread for all five, or does he give one for each unit?
Well, if he owns five homes and they're uninhabited, so presumably he would only give one for the one that he lives in. The only reason why here each one of them may need to contribute is because they're actually inhabited homes. These homes are being resided by the wives, and the argument that you would want to make is that, well, the wives are connected to the husband and are already unified with the husbands, and we shouldn't view them as five separate units. And meanwhile, at least according to Rav Yehuda ben Bava, they're considered like five separate units. Okay.
Is there any consideration if there are other people living?
Oh, so, okay, good. Meaning, right. In what you're asking about in that house?
No,
or are you asking in the chatzar in total?
In the chatzar, like okay. In the other case.
Good. Timing is almost perfect. Okay, well, the Gemara is going to discuss. In just a moment. Pshita ben Eitzel Aviv Kedamarin. Ishal Eitzel Bala Ve'evet Eitzel Rabba Plukted Rav Yehuda Ben Bisei Rav Yehuda Ben Bava. So we talked about three different types of relationships. We talked about a relationship between father-son, that's our Mishnah. We talked about a relationship between wife to husband and Eved to master. That was the Brice that we just learned. And we just learned it's a machlokis between Rav Yehuda's, Ben Bisera versus Ben Bava. And now we talked about a fourth type of relationship, and that's a Rebbe Talmud relationship. A Rebbe Talmud relationship in the good old days was a much stronger relationship than we have now, and I speak as a Rebbe, but it's true. Meaning that in the good old days, the Talmud lived by the Rebbe, right? Slept by the Rebbe, ate by the Rebbe. It was, in other words, when he learned by his Rebbe, it was really, the Rebbe actually took care of him. So now, Talmud Eitzel Rabba, my Tashma, Derav Be Rav Chia Amar, Ein Anu Tzrichim La'arev, Shari Anu Samchin Al Shulchan Al Shul Rebbe. The Gemara here talks about relationships between Rav regarding Rebbe Chia. Remember, Rav learned by Rebbe Chia. Rav was actually a nephew to Rebbe Chia. So we don't have to make an Erev because we're relying on the Shulchan of Rebbe Chia. And Rebbe Chia, Bei Rebbe. And the Gemara goes up one more generation. It's not even up. It's like up a half a generation. Rebbe Chia says, me regarding Rebbe, same story. When I learned by Rebbe, I was totally supported by Rebbe. So in other words, I may have lived in a different house, in a different quarter, but doesn't matter. In other words, I was so supported, so attached to Rebbe as his Talmud, that I didn't need to. For me, there was no need to make any type of erev contribution. This discussion should sound familiar. It's how we started the daf today. Meaning, we're now talking about the exportation of an erev. Meaning that two chaseres want to join with one another. I'm exporting my erev from here to. To somebody, to another chatzar. So, the question is that in these scenarios that we just painted, father son, wife master, or Rebbe Talmud. So when we export, do we have to, each one has to send, or is one going to be enough for everyone? Amalei erev echa lekulan. So the Gemara says one erev. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the case of the brothers, didn't we say that everyone has to contribute? So the Gemara goes and now the Gemara makes the point. Well, it depends. If other people are living in the chatzar, meaning that let's go back to our Mishnah's case. Dad and his four boys. If there are more than five houses, meaning it's more than just dad and his four boys living in this chatzar, but there are other members of the chatzar, and they need to contribute, so then the sons need to contribute as well. Kigon de'ika de'yurim ba'adayo. De'migu de'hani asrei, hani nami asrei. So because the other homeowners of the chatzar, the non-son owners of the chatzar, because they present an isser, the sons do as well. Okay, the Gemara here is throwing out the concept of migu. Migu is sense. So, in other words, well, before I give any type of explanation, let me just read a little bit more. Hachinami mistab. The Gemara says, first of all, it's totally logical. Tiktani emesam is manchem alichin esirvim b'makom me'acher. Avelimaya irvim ba'atzlan osha ein diurin emahem b'chatzar ein tzrichin la'arev shmamina. The Gemara quotes the Brice, and the Brice pretty much makes this point exactly that if there are other members of the chatzar, so then the sons need to contribute as well. So in other words, now let's try to understand this a little bit better. And by the way, we made this very same point in our Mishnah as well. Why should that be? Meaning that if it's just dad and his four boys living in the chatzar, and there's no other people living in the chatzar, and dad's supporting the boys, so the halacha is that they don't need to make an eruv. However, If there are other members of the chatzer, the other members need to contribute to the Erev, and now the sons need to contribute to the Erev as well. Basically, I think the way to understand this, or the way to look at this, is as follows. The sons are being supported by the father, but the sons also have their own house. So whether or not they're going to be considered like one, they have like almost like a tenuous relationship. And I'm not speaking psychologically, I'm not speaking emotionally, we're just talking about how to view them residentially. It's a little bit tenuous, meaning they are five different houses, each one of them is inhabited by a separate family, but because of the financial backing of dad, and because they're subsisting based on the graciousness of dad, so if they're the only people living in the chatzer, so basically we can view them as one family unit. And we don't have to, and there's obviously no Erev requirement. But once there are outside members of the family living in the chatzer, so then we can't just simply look at the five houses in a vacuum, because it's no longer in a vacuum. There are now other people living. Everyone's contributing the Erev. So now our perspective of the four sons changes. Obviously not regarding support, but just simply in terms of regarding chatzer and Erev. Our view of them changes because other people now are contributing. They need to contribute as well. We no longer can view them as just simply one singular unit. Okay, maybe just trying to help give us some understanding of how this, why this should be. more discussion about what's considered your house. Here the Gemara gives it in the under the context of Bnei HaYeshiva. See, the Bnei HaYeshiva, they're sleeping in the Beis Medrash. Okay, I know that's strange. Could be that it's like a room to the side off the Beis Medrash. However it works. They're sleeping in the Beis Medrash. What are they eating? So there's no cafeteria. The yeshiva's not cooking. There's no chef in the yeshiva. So they have to go to people's houses to eat. So now, where's the point of center? Now the Gemara is going to discuss in the context of Erev Tchum, but I'd venture to guess that the same discussion would be had regarding Erev Chatzeres as well. So where's the point of center? Is it going to be in the yeshiva? Or is it going to be in the places they eat? So, Amar Lei Mashchina Mi Bei Rav. So the answer is, you measure from the yeshiva. The yeshiva is their home. So, V'Hari Nosen, it's a Ruv B'Toch HaPai Mama V'As Iu V'Ais B'Baita D'Mashchina Lei T'chome Me'eruva. So the Gemara says, really? But they're not eating in the yeshiva. In fact, when you lay down an Eruv, what normally happens? That becomes your Makum Dira. That becomes your house of residence. Did you sleep there? No. The reason why is because you ate there. Right? This goes all the way back to the beginning of today's daf. This is Rav and Makum Pita. Isn't where you're eating, isn't that going to establish your point of center? So once again, the Gemara is going to employ this concept the second time for today. Be'ahu anam sahadeh v'ahada anam sahadeh. Be'ahu anam sahadeh di mizdar lei ha'asam nichalei. Look, when you lay down your Eruv, that's where you want to be. You may not actually sleep there, but by you putting food down over there, that's an excellent indication that's where you wanted to be. The Bnei Yeshiva, where do they want to be? They want to be in the Beis Medrash. It happens to be that just from a technical standpoint, they do need to eat every day, right? It's, you know, it's a habit for them. So, but there's just simply no food being provided. Had there been food provided in the yeshiva, they would have been more than happy to eat in the yeshiva. But just because of no calf, no kitchen, no chef, so therefore they have to leave the yeshiva to eat. But Anan Sahadeh, it's as if we would testify, that's really where they wanted to be. Better for them to have eaten in the yeshiva. By Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chista Avav Noah Rav Harav Vitamido Karabim Damu Kiyachinim Damu Srichen Erev Oin Srichen Erev Mavishlam Nita Balachi Vikora Oin Nita Balachi Vikora. Okay, let's say I have a father son. Let's say I have a Rebbe Talmud. Again, father supporting the son. Again, Rebbe supporting the Talmud. And they live in a Erev. Now, the Gemara over here is asking a number of questions. Really, we'll reduce it down to two questions. One question is the following. We know, we've talked about this case already a number of times, interior chatzar versus exterior chatzar. Interior chatzar, if they're walking through the exterior chatzar, that's what's called regel. And, as we've learned already a number of times, they're considered residents of the outer chatzar. But that's only if the interior chatzar is inhabited by more than one person. If the interior chatzar is only inhabited by one person, that's not considered traffic. He's not considered regel towards the outer chatzar. So let's say I have in the inner chatzar two residences. It happens to be one's dad, the other's son. Or two residences, one is a Rebbe and the other is a Talmud. How are they viewed? Two residences or one residence? Are they going to considered to be dira for the outer chatzar or not? Similarly, the Gemara asks another question, somewhat related. Let's say I have multiple chatzaras opening up to a mavui, and the mavui opening up to Rishus HaRabim. We spent the first parak learning, if I want to carry in the mavui needs a structural heker, either a lechi or a kora. What's the definition of a mavui? Definition is two chatzaras, each chatzar having two houses opening up into the mavui. Let's say one chatzar is occupied by the Rebbe, and the other chatzar is occupied by his Talmud. Is that considered two separate chatzeros? I'm related to Nisui, so he says, and all this, we know. If no one else is living there, if it's just the Rebbe Talmud, if it's just the father and son, if no one else is living there, that's one unit. That's how we started off the whole discussion. If there are other people living there, we no longer view them as one unit. Ain't tzrichin la'arev, and therefore they don't need to make an eruv. Umavu shalem need to belechi v'kara. Now, their mavui can be corrected with either a lechi or a kara. Even though it's a little tricky. Even though they don't require an eruv, but vis-a-vis the mavui, they're considered like two separate residences, and so therefore the mavui can be fixed with a lechi or a kara. Okay, let's start the next mission. Okay, we are now going to basically discuss and put all of our attention now onto the heter mavui, the ability to carry into a mavui. Remember the classic construct, house is open to a chatzar open to a mavui, and the mavui ends up going into the Rishus HaRabim. Now the mavui is a Rishus HaYachid, right? The mavui is surrounded by three walls. So the mavui is a Rishus HaYachid. So I can carry in a mavui, but the problem is that the mavui is a common area. So the only way that we'd be able to carry in the mavui is by creating an era for the mavui. I told you already that the term we're going to be used for the mavui, shituf mavos. Okay, but basically shituf is the same thing as eruv. It's just that, I told you that the big differences are, for an eruv chatzir, has to be bread. For shituf mavos, it could be any food. The other big difference is that for a chatzir, the houses, the member, the homeowners contribute bread and put in somebody's house. For the sheet of mavui, the chatzar owners contribute whatever food they want, and they put the sheet of in one of the chatzeras. Okay. So, and what's the big question that we've been discussing? We saw already this question yesterday. We're going to start with this question today. We're going to touch on it today. If we made a sheet of mavui, which already now incorporates and unifies the entire mavui, which means the mavui and the chatzeros, do we need on top of that now to make a ruve chatzeros? That's a major machlokas tanaim. Rav Meir says, yes, you do. Even though everyone's already unified, you still have to make a ruve chatzeros. What's the reason behind Rav Meir? We saw that also already. The reason why is because if we don't make a ruve chatzeros, the kids are going to grow up not ever seeing a ruve chatzeros, and we're going to forget about a ruve chatzeros. So as a reminder to the kids, as chinuch, as a reminder to the kids, hey, this is what Erev Chatzeros looks like. Even though I feel like if you ask any of our kids, right, could you tell me what an Erev Chatzeros is? Okay, that's already tricky. Could you tell me where the Erev Chatzeros is? I doubt kids, and I doubt a lot of the adults as well, will be able to identify where the Erev Chatzeros is. I work in this building, it happens to be, I know where it is, but very doubtful. So I understand that we ourselves also don't know so well where it is. But That's the sheet of Rav Meir. The Chachamim, however, disagree. The Chachamim say that if you set up your sheet of Mavui, you don't need Erev Chatzeres, everyone's already unified. Okay, with all that stated, let's just quickly run through the Mishnah, and we'll stop right after the Mishnah. Mishnah starts off, Shchamish Chatzeres P'suchu Zulazu P'suchu Zamavui. I have five Chatzeres, each one of them has an opening to one another. So in other words, they're lined up in a row, and there's a doorway that opens up from one Chatzer to the next, and from the second to the third, and from the third to the fourth, and from the fourth to the fifth. And each one of them, they're running parallel now with a Mavui. Each one of them is opened up to the Mavui. Separate opening to the Mavui. Irvu b'chatzeros, volo nishtatfu b'mavui, mutarn b'chatzeros v'asnum b'mavui. So, if they made Irvu b'chatzeros, and by the way, Irvu b'chatzeros in this case means, not only did each chatzer make their own Eruv, but all five of them actually combined. Meaning, like we just got to discussing earlier today. Meaning, we exported our Eruv to another chatzer.
So they didn't want to be
chatzer. So they're one big chatzer. Great. So I can carry from my chatzer to chatzer 2, to chatzer 3, to chatzer 4, chatzer 5. Or using the doorways that are connecting each chatzer, I can carry from one chatzer to the other. But because we didn't make sheet of Mavui, I can't carry in the Mavui.
But the thing is that who would they make sheet of with? They were now one entity. They need another entity.
Good question. Please wait. Excellent question. So Shishabu Mavu Mutar Bechatzer. I'm sorry. Bechatzer. I'm sorry. Upsuchas Mavu Ever Bechatzer. So Shishabu Mavu Mutar Bechatzer. So Vasim Mavu. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay. Top of Ein Gimel Amud Beis. V'im Nishtatfu B'Mavui. But what if they made a Shituf? Mutarim Kan V'Kan. Everything's good. I can carry in the Chatzer and I can carry in the Mavui. Now, what did the Mishnah mean? Did you make a Shituf in addition to the Erev Chatzeres? Or you just made a shituf? Not totally clear. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Irvu bechatzeres v'nishadfu b'mavui. Let's say we made an irvu chatzeres and a shituf mavui. V'shachachecha m'mnei chatzer v'lo irv. And one of the b'nei chatzer forgot. Didn't make a contribution. Mutarin kan v'kan. So everyone's still mutar. Okay? That right. that needs to be thought about. And mibnei mavui v'lo nishtatef. So let's say a member of the mavui didn't contribute to shituf, mutarim bechatzeros v'asurim b'mavui. So the chatzeros made their own eruvin, but the mavui didn't make a shituf because one of the chatzeros failed to contribute. So the mavui is not nitar, no permission to carry in the mavui, even though the chatzeros would be fine. Shehamavu lechatzeros kechatzer labatim. The relationship between Mavui to Chatzeros is the same relationship as Chatzer to Batim. Just like in Chatzer to Batim, if one homeowner failed to contribute to the Chatzer, so therefore we don't have an error for the Chatzer, same thing is true regarding the Mavui. If one Chatzer failed to contribute to the Mavui, so then we can't carry in the Mavui. Okay, I left us off with a lot of open-ended questions. We're going to discuss it tomorrow. Tomorrow we start with the Gemara. We're going to try to analyze and understand what exactly the circumstances are regarding the Mishnah. So today, we finished up the Traklin discussion, which started on Ayin Beis, and the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, talked about the differences between exporting an Eruv versus importing an Eruv. We then went through the entire discussion today about financial dependency of the son to the father, of the wives to the husband, of the servants to the master, and of the Rebbe of the Talmud to the Rebbe. And in all those cases we discussed whether we view them as one unit, as different, as separate units, vis-a-vis the requirement of Eruv Chatzeros, and also Eruv Tchomim. What establishes Dira? Major question, which is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's bread, Shmuel says it's sleeping. The Gemara sides with Rav. The Gemara time and again said, even if they don't actually eat there, but as long as they wanted to eat there, that's going to be considered their makom dira. And then we started the discussion today of Chamesh Chatzeros, the five Chatzeros open to one another, and the requirement of making both a Eruv Chatzeros and Shituf Mavos. Continued Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shon Rivka, four Refuah Zaka Avram Ben Yochir Avigail. Le'ilui nishmas Rav Yaakov ben Yosef. Rav Chanani ben Akash amar Rav Kashbaruch Zakusol. Fi chachir b'mtar mitzvah shenemar nachah beitzaman fikol yagdot Rav Yadir.